I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 143 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. Me and Nate are going to be talking at you today about who knows what. Probably getting into some stuff. He's finally been on vacation somewhat from work doing some hunting, so we'll get into that. Had some pretty good hunts, had some pretty bad hunts. We got wet this morning. We did see a few deer, but we got plenty to talk about. We couldn't get anybody on here who actually kills deer, so we're going to talk to you about how we can't. I think that's all I got. Let's get into it on number 143. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, here we are, November 18th, and we're recording this day of again, like we did a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The last time you and Blake were here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we went out this morning and did a hanging hunt, much to my chagrin. If there's a tier of hunts I hate to do, ground blind is at the very bottom. On the ground with no blind would be one step up from that. And then I think hanging hunt would be the third one on that, the third rung on that ladder.
Yeah.
Blake loves it.
No, I
hate it.
I'm trying to think. I don't like blinds too much.
You know? I would rather be elevated blind than hanging hunt, which is where we should have been this morning, probably.
I absolutely agree with that. I wish I could see more, you know, out of the blind.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only thing I don't like about it. I mean, it is very comfortable, and you can move in there. Ground blind, no good. Hanging hunt is just, it just pretty much goes terrible for me every time I've tried it.
Yeah.
I also look like a guy that would have tremendous difficulty doing a hanging hunt, right?
I guess I probably don't, but I still hate it. I looked like the guys who love doing that kind of stuff, I guess, but I'm happy for the guys who are good at it and who do it all the time and love it, but
We must have been fairly stealthy though, at least at some point, because it was cloudy, overcast, but we did still have the full moon, you know, above the clouds up there. So I mean, we could kind of see a little bit. I would hate to think how bright it would have been if there wasn't cloud cover. But anyway,
would have had shadows.
Yeah. But I just looked. You were like three sticks up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked, and there's a deer right there. I was like, wow, how did she get here? And I could see her in my binoculars, you know, looking at her. I could tell it was a doe.
Mm-hmm.
She just moved past us and got over there, and I was telling you, you know, don't move. And you were just hanging there at that point, so.
Yeah, I was just hanging off the tree.
Yep.
Trying to keep the stick that I had not got hooked into the tree from falling.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she moved off and then got everything up there. And gosh, just as soon as we got in the tree, here came all the deer.
Mm-hmm. When you were standing down there and you said, holy cow, I thought, oh, great. It's him. He's standing right here.
Yep.
And he's going to go through here and either blow at us or we'll never see him again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, I don't know. I guess I would throw climbing in there somewhere, but I think I like climbing better than hanging hunting. I just don't like packing it in.
Yeah. every bit of this is just me being lazy. I don't want to carry extra stuff in there.
It takes too long, too.
Yeah. I want to go in there. I want to climb up in my stand. I'm going to plop down and just sit there and relax.
If you don't have the perfect tree, it takes too long.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And I also like the extra 20, 30 minutes of sleep I can get if I'm to a stand that's already hung.
Yep.
You know?
For sure.
I left the house at 5 minutes till 5 this morning, or 10 till 5, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'd have been going,
hey, that's about when I was. yeah, that's about when I was leaving.
You're too. Only about 15 minutes further away than I am.
Yep.
But that's if we'd have been going somewhere that had a stand, we'd have had to leave. I don't know. 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Which we could have. I didn't get any pictures this morning. I know you got a decent deer there.
He's not
one we filmed.
Yeah, he's not decent. Yeah, I don't know.
He's good enough.
I suppose. I think I've already told myself I would shoot him.
Yeah.
Just because he's not any bigger than he was last year, really.
No. Heavier, maybe.
4 year old. Yeah.
He does have cool color. He's colored up a lot like the a lot like Palmer is.
Yep. Dark horns with nice tips on there. Yeah. I don't know. I saw a thing just shared on Facebook. It was either yesterday or this morning. It says every buck has potential until he's dead.
That's true.
So I don't know.
I think there is some truth to that because you listen to guys who have grown a lot of or who have managed properties for a long period of time and they've had a bunch of different deer come through over the years. And they'll all say that some of them will make a jump from 4 to 5, some of them will jump from 6 to 7, some of them never will, some of them might early and then go downhill, like it just, it all depends on the deer. So you really don't ever know, but I mean, if it's a buck that, like in that instance, he's probably what now the third biggest buck you've got, camera.
He's number two. Oh, wait, yeah, he's number three.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's number three.
As of recently, you had another one move in.
Yeah, but he just stayed that night. He went back.
Oh, yeah.
Where he came from, which is what he did last year after about 5 days. Mm-hmm. But I talked to the guy where I thought he came from, and he said, yeah, he's mine. Leave him alone.
Yeah, he'll be back.
But no, he only stayed that one night.
He'll be back.
Yep. So, yeah.
Do you remember what day we filmed him last year? Was it after you missed your buck or before?
Man, I can't remember.
If it was after, it would have had to have been after gun weekend. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't have done that.
I can't remember.
It either been that morning or before then, because you missed yours on the 16th. Gun weekend was the 17th. And we didn't go back in there after you killed the 6x5. And it was on that plot.
Mm-hmm. I killed him on December 2nd, I think.
That's true. You did kill him second season. It could have been after first season. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we got him second season.
Just trying to think when that deer came in and when he was still there.
Yeah. That last year when he came in that first night, he broke his G2 off. Mm-hmm. I assume he found the 6x5 down there. But anyway, he showed up this year, one day later than he did last year. And technically I got to thinking even more about it. We had leap year this year, so there's an extra day, you know, that we count, but it don't mean nothing to him, you know. So anyway, that would have put him right back there on the same, technically, you know, to him the same day if we wouldn't have. But anyway, that's I got to thinking about that, and he showed up right on time.
Yeah, that's just more proof of what we talk about a lot with the trail camera stuff. If you're most of the time, if you're hunting off of like your cell camera is what you're getting right now, if he was in front of your stand, you're a day behind.
Yeah.
If you go off of like last year, he was there, he's back the same day. Yeah. A lot of times those kind of bucks will come in similar time frame.
Yeah.
Just a matter of catching them in the daylight or whatever.
And he came in there same day, one day later this year. Same camera though, and spent time in front of that camera just like he did last year. I assume he made a circle and checked out most of the piece right there, and then like 10 hours later he's leaving, you know, heading back home. I got his picture when he's heading out of there,
right.
I assume he went down in there, made a big circle, checked stuff out, and then was just heading back, you know, because he's at least 4. I'm guessing he's 5.
Yeah,
I think he's 5 this year.
He was 4 last year?
I don't know. He's at least 4.
Yeah. He's for sure 4. I said, you know, that one 8-pointer's got similar color to Palmer. And I only know that because we saw him twice last week.
Yeah.
And the first time we were down there by the Sprout Patch.
Yep.
He'd come in with a doe. He was definitely locked down with her.
Oh, yeah.
What day was that?
Monday.
That was the Veterans Day, 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw him about 9 o'clock, 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30.
Somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. She came in. I thought he was going to do it that morning.
Yep.
She was at 35, probably, maybe 30.
Yeah.
Not quite in an opening. Looked like she was going to walk through one, and he was behind her. He was probably, what, 50 yards, 45 yards?
Yeah, I think he was 45 right there.
And they had done it that morning. He had had a chance then, but they ended up working off. We went back in there. What day was that?
Thursday.
So, and all this stuff will be on tomorrow's episode. So, tomorrow night's would be number 7? We have number 7? Yeah, so all this will be on there. But we went back in there, and then it was first thing that morning. If you're like most hunters out there, at some point, you've dreamed of having a piece of hunting ground to call your own. Maybe you finally decided to make those dreams a reality. If so, you need to talk to our guy, Rodney Hawkins. Rodney is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. If you haven't heard of them, they aren't your average real estate company. While they do deal in traditional residential and commercial real estate, their specialty is recreational and farm ground. With agents like Rodney serving across the state of Illinois, no matter what you're looking for, they can find it. Even if you want to sell what you already have to upgrade, downgrade, reinvest, whatever, they've got you covered. For more information, you can contact Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. On top of what he does for MFL, Rodney also has his own company called RG Outdoors. They currently carry hard and soft-sided blinds, blind chairs, tree stands, and cameras from Radix Hunting, Tacticam trail cameras, Fission e-bikes, and he's adding new stuff all the time. I've personally used all of these products, and I'm beyond happy with every one of them. The Fission e-bike is a game changer, and you will not find a better one for the price. If you're interested in anything RG Outdoors has to offer, you can send them a message to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153.
Yeah. It was a cloudy morning, so it was still pretty dark on camera. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to debate, go sit where we did, or go back there where we saw him 3 days earlier. I just couldn't decide. But I was pretty sure that they would be cruising there on the south plot.
Mm-hmm.
I was just pretty sure they would be, because they always have in the past, you know. Had a good wind to get in there. I hadn't set that stand in the morning yet. I think I'd only set it one other time in the evening. So it was pretty fresh. We got in there. It had rained that night.
Mm-hmm.
So we got in there really quiet, got up in the tree. We got settled, got our jackets put on. I looked across the plot, and there he came. He was 80 yards away. He just stepped into the plot out there, and he was coming our way. Thought he was going to come right in the woods there on that little cut.
It did look like it.
He angled that way just for a second. I was like, man, this is going to be okay.
I don't know if I was recording yet or not, but as we saw him, he started to angle. I said out loud, he's going to come right in here.
Yep.
I don't know if it was on video or not, but anyway, when you first saw him, I'm sitting there not thinking anything yet other than, man, it's still awful dark and the weather just, I wish it was colder, basically is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden you go, good buck in the plot. There's a good buck in the plot. Well, the first time you said that, I thought you said good luck something. And I was like, all right. I don't know what you were talking about. But when you said it the second time, I caught it. I look over my shoulder, and there's this pretty good-bodied deer. And then you put your binos up and saw which deer it was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I got on him. But, yeah, I thought he was coming in there too.
Yep. I surely to goodness I wouldn't have missed that.
Well.
You
probably would have shot under him.
Yeah, but no, he came across there, and I kept thinking, he's going to be 40, and then he angled in just a little bit more, and I thought, nah, 35, so I put my pin on 35, stopped him in the first opening I had there.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, just happened to work out, because I hadn't told you this yet, but while he was walking in, I was like, man, is he going to be able to shoot out there? And then he got there, and I thought, well, he's close enough, but I don't know what he's got for it. Lanes that far out, because I knew you could shoot the edge right there where he was at.
Yeah,
I was not in my mind even thinking about you stopping him, and I'm just tracking him, and then you go, eh,
I was like, oh, crap.
So I zoomed in on him real quick, and it just, like, he just happened to be between those two trees.
Yep.
He was two steps from being completely covered up.
Yeah.
You like to stop them when their head's behind a tree for the camera.
Yes. But yeah, I knew based on what it felt like the wind was doing right then, it felt like it was out of the northwest. It was supposed to be west and southwest, but I felt the wind hitting me in the side of the face, and I thought, this ain't good. If I let him get down there any more in the clear, you know, it's just, he's going to potentially wind us. So I thought, I'm just going to stop him the first chance I got. And on the other side of that grapevine, I thought it was too close. You'd have had a better look at him there, but I stopped in between that grapevine and those trees. But anyway, I put it on him. I felt pretty good about it. Shot. And he ducked just a tiny bit, but not really enough to matter.
No.
And I just skipped it off his back.
I've watched that a bunch of times. And if you go mark the spot where it hit him on the back, where that knock is, and then you rewind it, it would have been like way up high shoulder, like I think probably above the spine. Like had he not ducked, best case scenario, you spine shoot him. But I think he would have been above it.
Correct. I agree.
And you can actually hear it on the video skip off of him.
Really?
You can hear it hit and then... Yeah, but originally, because I'm just watching on a screen about as big as your phone, you know, and I was tracking him coming in, and you stopped him, and I thought, oh, he's going to shoot. So I zoomed in, and you shot, and I thought you clean missed him. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought, oh, well, I've seen that before. But then he took off pretty hard out of there, obviously, because it didn't hit him.
Yeah.
And you were looking through your binoculars, and I was like, he thinks he got him.
No, I thought I did put it through his real high back.
Right.
I thought it hit him more than it did, but I knew immediately it was not fatal.
Because you didn't have any reaction.
Nope.
Unless you can see it on the GoPro, there wasn't nothing. You just shot, hung up your bow, and got your binoculars.
No, I was fairly disgusted. No, but I wanted to see if I could tell anything when he ran away.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that it was not good.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it ended up being is better than it could have been, because if he would have just took it, you know, not moved at all, I'd have just hit him high up there in the shoulder.
Yeah, that arrow would, half that arrow would still be in him.
Yep.
He'd have broke off both sides that were out of him.
Yep.
And you'd have never saw him again.
And
he'd
be hurt. But yeah, I wanted to make sure I was looking for blood or anything up there.
Mm-hmm.
When he ran away, and I couldn't see anything. Mm-hmm. Then we watched it back, and it was definitely just a little bit of a hair jerker, I suppose, as we found out there on the arrow. But that was it.
Yep. 2 years in a row, almost to the date.
Correct.
So when he came in there by the sprout patch that morning, he was at 50. I was kind of excited for you that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't, like, shaking because I'm not shooting. But I was like, oh, this is going to happen. That morning where you actually shot at him, but never even crossed my mind. I was not really excited at all, because I was just like, he's going to get away.
Yep.
And then I wasn't for sure you had a lane out there at all.
Oh, yeah.
I was not expecting you to stop him right there.
Yep.
Whatsoever. I wasn't the least bit ready for that.
That corner of the plot is actually where most of my shooting is, right there. But after this year, I'm going to redo all of that. I'm switching trees. Of course, we've already talked about this. We talked about it after I went out there and got my arrow, cleaned a little bit of hair off of it, and then and then walked back to the truck that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to redo that plot. But 2 years in a row, 2 days, I think it's 2 days, 3 days apart.
Last year was the 16th.
2 days apart then.
It was the 14th this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway.
In between that's when I winged that one last year at the cabin. So at least I didn't do that this year.
Yep.
We broke that streak.
Yeah. I don't know, but we had some good sits this last week.
Oh, yeah.
We really did. We don't have a thing to show for it.
No. A little bit of hair on an arrow.
Yep.
And some video.
Yep.
A little bit of video. We got actually decent pre-roll on him. It was like, I think I had 30 total seconds of video on him.
Yeah.
And then plus whatever I got of him standing out there in the middle of the field trying to figure out what just happened.
Yeah.
What bit him on the back.
Yeah. Luckily, it didn't spook him too bad. He was right back in there 150 yards away the next evening on camera dinging around.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know what happened. There is a noticeable ruffled up spot on his back right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right where you'd want to hit him.
Just left and right.
Significantly lower.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I haven't even had a chance to do that this year. I think I was thinking about it the other day. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market. We've been using ours for several months now, and I'm continually impressed with the ease of use and security they provide. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. I don't know. Last year was probably worse because I had the encounter that I had the hunt I did on Dusty where that four-year-old, I think he's four, he got some pictures later where he looked like he might be three. Either way, the one that I didn't shoot, I had him, and I have seen at least one mature buck from a distance while hunting Dusty. But other than that, hunting on my spots, I saw that nine-pointer, whatever evening that was, and I'm not 100% sure he's a mature deer. He might be three based on the pictures. And then there was a young deer behind a doe, and she ended up smelling me because the wind was supposed to be southeast, and it was out of the, or it was supposed to be northeast, and it was out of the southeast. So where he would have walked right behind her, and if she'd kept going, they would have been both in the good direction for the wind, but she got me, and they ran up the hill. But other than that, I haven't seen. I got some video of one running across the field that I can't tell if he was a, if he was the 4-year-old 8-pointer that was up there, or if he was a different one. And I haven't had any mature deer even close to bow range. Mm-hmm. I even seen them. I don't think I've seen a mature deer. I haven't seen a for sure mature deer on either of the places. Me and Dad hunted last Saturday. I think it was last or two Saturdays ago. I can't remember. We went and sat at the North Farm that evening. And we should have sat at the cabin because that 6-pointer came by at 30 yards. Both stands. We could have been hunting them. We would have been hunting the blind, and I thought about it, but we didn't. So he could have had a crack at that deer. And then I went and hunted the cabin the morning of the 15th. I don't remember what morning that was. Friday was the 15th, right? So I hunted it Friday morning. Saw one deer all morning. And then there was possibly that 9-pointer, possibly a young 10-pointer, possibly a shooter in front of the blind at the North Farm at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then I went there in the evening, which is where I saw those two deer I was just talking about. And, I don't know, 75 yards from the tree I was hunting at the cabin that morning, that 6-pointer was there at 2:30 in the afternoon with a doe making a scrape. So wrong place, wrong time on those two, I guess. But other than that, it's been so slow. Mm-hmm. The weather's not been great.
It's been way too warm.
It's been so warm all year. And I just haven't, I haven't had the deer on camera that I normally do. So it's been tough as far as that goes. But I've had some, I mean, I had some good hunts. And then we had really good hunt there on the 8th when we went in and saw that half rack buck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Had another really good hunt on Dusty where just didn't see any big deer. Little buck running around chasing, jumping into autumn olive bushes. we've seen some good chasing, even this morning. Mm-hmm. That where there was a spike that ended up coming by us later. I'm sure it's the same one. Mm-hmm. He was out there by himself, mm-hmm. and then the doe popped out. And then you said, I didn't hear that deer grunt.
Yeah. I was videoing the spike, and then all of a sudden I heard that grunt, and I looked away from the viewfinder. And here's a, he's probably a basket rack. I don't know.
Body wise, he didn't, I mean, I figured he's probably two.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
I mean, they were just flying across there. He's chasing this doe, and this spike just watched, you know, like he just, he didn't care. He wasn't even going to try. And then it came over there by us. But yeah, whatever it was moving very fast.
Mm-hmm. We have, between the two of us, I guess you had the chance at Palmer there. And then actually later that hunt too, that eight pointer came in, a doe came across the plot and he stopped at the edge of it and acted real goofy and turned around and went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Other way, I don't know why. Or you might have had a shot at him.
Yeah.
It would have been tough. I don't think you ever had a shot at that doe, did you?
No.
But we did see him. But other than that, it's been Dusty killing deer and Blake killing deer.
Mm-hmm.
Blake killed his, would have been on last episode. So if you guys listening and haven't watched that, go back and watch episode 6. You can see Blake shoot his deer. Quite the controversial topic if you look on Facebook. And I say that, I don't know if it's actually controversial because you look at the comments and, of course, the guys that are in the comments are, like, there's a lot of them. Some of them weren't. A lot of them were, like, talking crap or whatever. But then it's got, like, 3,000 likes, too. So way more people like it than didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good hunt. He had a really good morning that morning. And I was hoping he'd come in here and tell us all about that. But he ended up shooting that buck at 44 yards, I think he said he ranged it at, with the 145-inch clean 8-pointer without brow tines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what'd he have? Total of 3 inches of brow tine.
Yeah, not too much.
Yeah. So if he'd had normal brows, he'd have been 150-inch deer.
Mm-hmm.
As a clean 8-pointer.
Yeah.
Very nice deer. So we've had some good hunts on camera, too. It's just, ours have not been the greatest so far.
Fairly typical of the rut.
Yes. You go 4 days without seeing a deer, then you have that one where it's just everything.
A parade.
Yeah. I'm hoping for that this evening, but it's going to be warm.
Yep.
And windy.
Yep.
We'll see. Gun weekend is going to suck. Not for you, the guys that are gun hunting. It's going to be great.
Yeah. The first, like, real cold weather that we've had all fall. There was one day, probably 2 or 3 days in mid-October, there was very light frost in a spot or two.
Yeah.
You know. But absolutely not a killing in the 30s. Yeah, absolutely not a killing frost. I mean, nothing has happened.
No, my food plots have grown since.
Yeah.
And like, it's November 18th.
Yeah, most people's winter wheat fields are just like perfect, you know, because they've continued to grow this whole time. Food plots are doing really well, you know, fully mature and everything out there now. But probably this weekend, probably that's going to shut it down, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to be cold this weekend and into next week. But that just figures because we got 5 extra days of bow season this year.
Mm-hmm.
So when's the cold front hit? Bam, right on the first day of gun season.
Yeah.
It's supposed to get windy
Thursday
and blow that in, I think, Wednesday and Thursday.
Is it?
Yeah. They moved it up to Wednesday now. That's why that 29 degrees is on Sunday instead of Monday, because I was kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're going to slaughter him gun weekend. You're going to kill Palmer. You or Kaylee one is going to kill him.
That would be,
unless you happen to shoot him this week.
Yeah. So it'll be this weekend for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. What about the other place up there north? Does it get better or worse after gun season?
I've not hunted it enough to know.
Yeah.
The people to the north are going to shoot everything that resembles a deer.
Which there's a little bit of thick stuff in there for them to go hide.
Oh,
in.
Yeah.
So they can push them in there, I guess.
There and to the west and to the north. There's thickets there. I think those people, I don't think they're wild. To the west and northwest, I should say. Straight to the north, if anything steps anywhere close to those guys, they're going to blast them.
Better duck.
Yeah. east, I don't know anything about. To the west, there's an old guy that hunts over there to the west on a 10-acre piece.
Mm-hmm.
It should be okay. It really should be.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. If you've made it to this point, hopefully you're enjoying the show. And if you are, go over to our Facebook page and our Instagram. Give us a follow. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group. That's Ridge Hunter Nation. You can go over there and answer a couple questions. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast or you watch any of our shows on YouTube or Carbon TV, you get in that group and just use it as your normal hunting group. Share your success, your failures, pictures, whatever you got. And we'll also give you some extra content in there. I'll ask questions on that, maybe do some surveys occasionally. And we'll also give you guys the opportunity to ask questions for any of our guests that we might have coming on, if we have them lined up in time and that's available. You'll find that at Ridge Hunter Nation. That's on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to see our scent line, Ridge Hunter Scents, our buck tarsal spray, doe tarsal spray, and our calming spray. All of our apparel is available on the website, and our food plot seed, when it is in stock, is available on the website too. If you want any of that stuff, make sure you use our discount code RHOPOD or FULLDRAW, all caps on either of those, no space, and you get 10% off your entire order. We also have our entire catalog of podcasts on the website, and our video series are available on there as well. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform, give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it lets you do, and that'll let you guys know when our episodes come out. They're not always as consistent as we want them to be, but we try to shoot for Monday and Friday. Sometimes it gets on a Tuesday or a Saturday maybe for an episode, and that way you'll know when they come out. It also really helps us without costing you anything. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hopefully you're already subscribed to the channel. If you're not, make sure you do that. If you're not listening to this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you go over there and do that at Ridge Hunter Outdoors, just like everything else. That's where you'll find our Fall Pursuit Show, Spring Strutting, all of our off-season vlogs will be on there, and much more. If you guys see a video or listening to a podcast on there and you're enjoying it, just drop us a comment. Hey, good show. Really enjoyed it. Something simple. Give the video a like. That really, really helps us out. And again, it doesn't take much of your time at all. You can also find Fall Pursuit on Carbon TV, and Spring Strutting will be on there this spring as well. So make sure you go over to Carbon TV. They have a lot of great shows to offer, and ours will be on there also. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate you tuning in when you do. Now let's get back to the episode. I'm getting to the point now where I've about lost hope at the cabin for anything bigger than that six-pointer to show up. So at this point, if he comes by, I'm going to kill him. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those things, you can't kill a 200-inch deer if they're not there.
Yeah.
You can't kill a 150-inch deer if they're not there. So yeah. Might as well shoot the biggest one that's around.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yep.
So right now, he is the only mature buck I've had on camera there.
Yeah.
Dad got pictures of one the other day that might be a four-year-old that doesn't have, he's got trash on his head.
Mm-hmm.
He was like probably 120-inch 8-pointer, and he's already busted a tine.
Yeah.
So he might have been four, but that 6-pointer is for sure four. I did get his shed from last year, so that was kind of cool. But honestly, there too, on 10 acres, I should probably look at it as any mature buck that I can shoot on there is an accomplishment of some sort.
Mm-hmm. That's tight right there.
Yeah, and
you got a great spot.
If he's the biggest deer around, he's the biggest deer around.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not, it's not going to be disappointed if I shot him. He's a cool-looking deer.
Yeah.
He's got a great big flyer off of 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
If he was an 8-pointer instead of a 6-pointer, like, I'd mm-hmm. be hunting him pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be a 135-inch 8-pointer probably.
Yeah.
100-130s for sure mm-hmm. with a big kicker off of his G2.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't have much. But that's kind of common around there. I've seen over the years a couple different big 6-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
And... Well, 10 years ago, I'd have been tickled to death to shoot that deer.
Yeah.
You know, which I still, I'll be excited if I see him and get a chance at him. You mm-hmm. know, it's not like one of those deals where I'm just forcing myself to shoot one I don't want to shoot. But then up there on the North Farm, there's no thickets up there.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the cabin is sometimes it'll at least stay the same. It might get a little better after gun weekend because it's thick enough around there that they may push some in.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to stay there because it's only 10 acres.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how many of them get in there to survive the weekend.
Yeah.
But up there at the North Farm, it'll just be... I may have one or two pictures of decent deer after gun weekend, but it'll be so slow up there. Always mm-hmm. is. It's just so wide open. Guys hunt all around it. They probably hunt it. They probably hunt it. I know it gets hunted from the road occasionally.
Yeah.
So I'm not holding out a lot of hope for that. I was planning on hunting it pretty hard this week, but got some pictures of there's a couple decent bucks where we went this morning,
mm-hmm.
and thinking might as well try to hunt them.
Yeah.
They're bigger than anything I got on camera anywhere else except for the 1 6x5,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't seen him since the 24th. So I don't know. I'll probably split between those two places this week. Maybe Wednesday or Thursday it'll be good with that cold weather blowing in.
Does anybody hunt that ditch west of where we were this morning?
I don't know. like where we turned around?
Off to the west, where we did see that one little buck going into at the end.
Oh, south and west?
Yeah.
Okay. I know they hunt back in there.
Yeah.
There's a stand, evidently, that you can see from where that one camera's at. Mm-hmm. Or close to it. So mm-hmm. I know they gun hunt it. I don't know that they bow hunt it much.
Yeah.
And those guys killed some decent deer every year. That's the thing. They have a lot of pretty good ground. So mm-hmm. one of the pictures I saw actually came from some of them. They'd sent it to someone I know, and it was a nice buck. But mm-hmm. I'm hoping maybe something will turn up there. Who knows? Maybe this evening get lucky and mm-hmm. one will be after a doe or something. Mm-hmm. But it's at least this morning I had some hope going in there. There was a nice deer around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas at either the other places, it's kind of been, I don't know. I'm like going in there sitting, just knowing I should go sit, and there's not really any hope of seeing anything.
Yeah.
He's a mature 8-pointer up there at the North Farm that's been there. He showed up last week or week before last or something. That, again, I would probably shoot at this point, but it's not like, it's kind of like the one you're talking about at your place.
Yeah.
Like you might as well shoot him. It's just not
desirable.
Yeah. It's not a 150-inch 10-pointer or 170.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But again, you can't hunt them if they're not there, I guess.
Yep. I just, over the years, we've had so many 8-pointers that look just like him year after year, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there he is again. He looks just the same.
Yep.
He's a 130-inch buck. There he is next year. Oh, look, he's got a 2-inch sticker now. He's a 9-pointer.
Right.
And he's 132 inches. You know, and I mean, it's just year after year. But then when you do get something that, you know, that actually grows fours or something, and they show some promise, mm-hmm. Those are the ones that get slaughtered, you know. Mm-hmm. But the 8-pointers, they just, man, they stay right there.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know. I know he is four this year. I don't know. He's fairly visible.
Yeah.
He's more visible than Palmer is. Mm-hmm. But I also don't have cameras as much back where I know Palmer stays. And this other guy, I know he stays on the creek or out there by the Lone Tree. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know where he's staying most of the time. I get his picture a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I don't know him. And then, that stupid 7-pointer,
mm-hmm.
that wide 7-pointer.
The stupid 7.
Yeah, the stupid 7. Or the sexy 7.
Yeah, either way.
Depending on what kind of mood I'm in.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, like, he's 115-inch, 120-inch buck, you know. He's like 18
big
inches.
Big, mature buck, though.
18 inches wide with little bitty short tines.
Yep.
You know. He's actually got brown tines, though. Go figure that.
Of course he does.
But, I mean, that's not something I want staying around either.
Right.
You know. If I get rid of these bucks that... and I just said, 10 minutes ago, every buck has potential until he's dead.
Right.
But if I get rid of these bucks, there's a chance that I can open up a spot for a buck that has more potential than them.
Exactly. Or has already reached potential.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what to think about all of it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to kill a buck, you know, a young buck, and just say, well, he's never going to be nothing, you know. How many of those guys are there out there?
Right. I think you're a lot safer on those ones you're talking about, because if they're four, even like the ones I was talking about that say you'll see some jump from 6 to 7 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
most of the time they're jumping from 3 to 4 and 4 to 5.
Yeah.
And if he's 130-inch, 125-inch, 4-year-old,
mm-hmm.
maybe he blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Good chance he doesn't.
And we've had perfect potential for food this year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're, like everything
and grew. Antler growth.
Yeah, everything grew tremendously.
It's, wet summer, wet spring.
It's not because he was malnourished, you know.
Shouldn't be at all. It's kind of like what we've also talked about before, though. Most of these deer just want to, physiologically, they want to be 125, 130-inch 8-point buck.
Yep, I've heard biologists say that.
That's all things equal, that's about what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So Who knows? If you didn't have all that food out, you might have a bunch of 115-inch deer running around.
You're right.
I really do think, too, though, and I'm looking forward to this, too, hunting with Dusty. And it's something I've thought about. If I shoot a buck, like, this week or something, I may not hunt as much. Probably do some filming, like, if you don't end up killing one or for whoever. But I'm looking forward to late season because I know there where he's at, there's going to be deer move in.
Oh, yeah.
I have some hope there at the cabin that it might pull some deer because I have a little bit of food there.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're at, I think you have as much potential, at least since I've seen, to pull in deer late season because you've got the corn there and you've got the big fall plots.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of that around.
No.
Where you're at. And once the winter wheat gets to a certain height, I want to think, especially after it starts to freeze pretty hard, the deer won't hit it as much.
Mm-hmm.
They would rather come eat your corn for the energy and whatever greens you got, and especially the bulbs on the turnips and radishes and all that.
Yeah.
So I think even in that case, if you could get, even if you don't, but if you got rid of one of those trash bucks or something and you shoot one or Kaylee shoots one or whatever, or even if the neighbors shoot one, you got potential for now. That's a space that's opened up, plus you got the food. So who knows what could move in. And you know there's big deer around.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard people talk about there being really nice deer within a fairly close distance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then that nine pointer, he knows what's there now.
Yeah.
You know? If he doesn't end up getting killed, I'll be surprised if you don't have him later in the year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's in a safe spot over there. Those guys have already said they're going to pass him again. That's not the case if he comes back for me. He's a good looking buck. He's a 150-inch 8-pointer with the split brow tine.
He's a shooter all day long.
Yeah. He's really, really nice. But anyway,
You know, I joked about this last year after Dawson shot his buck and Blake shot his. Of course, now Blake's shot another one. And Dusty's, I guess, was a 9-point this year, but we might have to change the name to 8-point pursuit because that seems to be what we have.
Yep.
150-inch 8-pointer, though, that's a nice deer.
Yep.
No doubt. 140-inch 8-pointer is a really nice deer.
Yeah. I mean, this buck here.
There's nothing wrong with 130-inch 8-pointer.
No.
Like, that's a solid 8-pointer.
Yeah.
It's a really nice deer.
Yep.
Just sometimes you want something a little bigger, but like 140-inch 8, that and that thing.
Yeah.
He'll go 150. He's got the beams to go 150.
The beams, and overall height, and those brow tines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this deer actually has brow tines. Mm-hmm. All the bucks that I mean, traditionally, Turner Creek brow tines is just, that's plagued me. These 2-inch little bitty tiny nubs that they grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this one, he's actually got some.
That's, unless you have one, too, that's, he's got a little bit of mass.
Yeah.
Unless you got one that's noticeably got long main beams like he does.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when guys are looking at scoring deer and stuff, I think they miss the two most important ones are tine length and mass.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get however many tines you get, that times the measurement, and you get four mass measurements no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a deer that's 4 inches at the bases versus a deer that's 6 inches at the bases, that is 8 more potential inches on both sides for that deer mass-wise.
Yeah.
Same thing with tine length. If you've got one, let's say he's a 10-pointer and his G2s are 9 inches long, solid buck, right? And then you've got a 10-pointer whose G2's 11 inches, and let's say he goes down evenly from that. Very similar-looking deer, but the other one now has, I mean, potentially 12 more inches of antler.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got 2, 3, and 4 that are 2 inches longer than the other one.
Yeah.
And they would be very similar looking deer on the hoof. But like when it comes to scoring and stuff, you always see guys on Facebook posting pictures about, well, what's he gonna score, this and that. I think that gets overlooked a lot. The two, everybody likes width. A 15-inch deer to an 18-inch deer is a 3-inch measurement.
Correct. One time.
Exactly. Beams, even beams, if you got one that's 21 inches versus 23, there's 4 inches of difference there. But if you got tine length and mass, that goes a long way. If you're into high scoring deer, I guess look for tine length and mass. But yeah, you can have two deer that look very similar and score quite a bit different just because if they're a couple inches difference at the starting point on one or those or the other. But I don't know. I thought about it. If I ever do end up killing one, I'd probably just wait a while before I even measure the thing.
Yeah.
There's so much bullcrap around all that anyway.
That's what that's all most guys are concerned with a lot of times. Mm-hmm. As soon as he hits the dirt.
What do you score?
Yep.
And that's what everybody's going to ask.
Yep.
What is, and I don't know. I haven't put tape to him. Because to me, do I want to shoot a mooner? Yes. Is that why I do it? No. We've talked about this before, too. I want to kill a mature deer. So if I kill a mature deer and he's 135 inches, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. That 130-inch five-year-old buck is just as hard to kill as the 180-inch five-year-old buck.
Oh, yeah.
You know? If not harder sometimes, just depending on the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some deer that they just happen to end up with big antlers, and they're very visible. They're out in the daylight a lot. They're mm-hmm. easier to kill than some of these bucks that might be 125, 130 inches that are a lot more careful.
Yeah.
That's just luck of the draw.
But yep. Any of these things that have survived four seasons, five seasons, you know, they know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two.
Exactly. Especially around here, we've seen the hunting pressure tick up. It always does. Second week of November.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys are coming in. The out-of-state guys are making their trips up. They've taken their vacations or whatever. There's so much pressure.
Yep.
There's places where it's worse, for sure.
Yeah.
There's places where it ain't as bad. And if they've made it through 4 or 5 years of that, they know the deal.
Yeah.
They know what's up.
Yeah. They hear the four-wheelers and side-by-sides and everything coming out, and they know where they need to go.
Mm-hmm. Which, you can use that to your advantage a little bit, I guess, if you know where they're going. I think you've done that a little bit in the past, probably.
Yeah. I have a general idea, I believe, what everybody else is doing around, and try to use that to my advantage. I try to give them a nice, quiet place to stay there, you know,
mm-hmm.
Intrude as little as absolutely possible, and have some definite spots where you just don't go, you know.
Yep.
I mean, give them some spots where, and make sure, you know, like, I don't feel like I am lacking in food at all anymore. I can't see why I would never, ever need any more food than I have now.
Right.
I would absolutely like to get better bedding. I want to give them more places to lay. I want to give the bucks more places that they would really like to stay. Those does, we all know where they're going to lay. They're going to be close to the food, you know. But I want to give those bucks those nice, secluded spots. You know, try to do all that I can
mm-hmm.
to give them good places to stay and hold as many bucks as I can.
Yep. And then, you know, if you got a day where you can go out in October, you got a better chance of killing him if he's staying on you.
Oh, yeah.
Than if you're just waiting for the rut for him to come in and check does.
Yeah.
And there's maybe one buck staying on you.
Mm-hmm.
You give those does more places to go, then you're giving the bucks more places to go.
Because
mm-hmm. I do think if you, like you talked about that switchgrass, you could move a lot of does up there.
Yeah.
And then wherever they're staying now is going to open up.
Yep.
More than likely.
Yeah. And I probably do have pretty much a doe factory around there. I rarely shoot does. The neighbors take a pretty good toll on them from time to time, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's okay. That's
good information to have, too.
Yeah. I mean,
because somebody
don't need 80 of them.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need 80 of them.
And there's been plenty of, I don't know how many times we've discussed that, but plenty of mm-hmm. research and, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to not having too many does.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. And if bare minimum, you can grow better food plots if you don't have as many does.
Correct.
They're not going to destroy your habitat as fast.
Mm-hmm.
Your rut's going to be better, you know. Which that one, I think, is a little bit contradictory to what most people think, probably. I think if you got more does, you're going to have more bucks or better bucks in there, or the buck's going to be in there longer. But if he's got a...
He's already found a spot at that point where he knows he's got does.
And he don't have to go very far.
Yeah.
And if you got a bunch of does, there's going to be more of those spots. If you've got one buck to one doe, then they all got to go looking for the next doe.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have to fight over that doe. And
yeah.
All kinds of different benefits to that. But if that's like, going back to your point, if the neighbors are doing it and you know that, mm-hmm. then you don't necessarily have to.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff over the last couple of weeks guys that are talking about killing does during the rut, shooting the first doe you see, especially during gun season. If you can hit them with a shoot them in the shoulders, right through both shoulders, and get them to drop close, how many times bucks come and check those dead does? Yeah. I've seen two or three different. Dr. Grant Woods was one of them. Who was the other one? There was two more, I think. But they were all talking about the same thing, shooting those does. I know Bill Winky does a lot of shooting does all year round, through the rut and whatever. I think it's less than if you hit them good and they don't go back there where that buck's staying.
Oh, yeah.
It's less intrusive than you think.
Yeah.
You know, to have to go mess with them. We were, that deer I shot last year, we literally were sitting down there right next to the food plot for 20 minutes later because that one buck came through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We tracked all over that place. And then 2 hours after we left, the buck we saw go behind us walked through the food plot. 5 o'clock that night before dark, there's another buck in there with a doe. You know, especially this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
You can get away with more than you think as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, overall, though, lowering that, lowering your intrusion or whatever, getting them some places where they can go hide like you're talking about doing, I think it's going to be way more benefit to that.
Yeah.
You're going to have more chances at killing them.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, we're not really seeing that right now. You'll probably kill one tonight, though.
Aye.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know.
If you get in the sprout patch, you'll be away from the wind, won't you?
Yeah. A little bit southeast in it, though, would not be good blowing up the creek.
Yeah.
It would not be good. I could go to the blind on the north plot. Or I'd go over there to the other place. But I would eat the wind over there. It'd be coming all the way across that field. Nothing to stop it there by the time it gets to that draw.
Yeah, that'd be brutal. I'm hoping I'll have a little bit. I'm up on top of that hill, but the woods is south of me, so it should block some of it. But I don't know. There should be some bucks coming off of does at any time. So even though it's going to be 70 degrees, maybe one of us will kill something tonight. But
go out there and sit in our shorts and our wife beaters.
Yeah, thinking about it. Wear a white one just so I stand out even worse.
Yep.
But, well, we need to get you back to your truck.
I got pictures coming in. Let's see if we got anything good.
Okay. Before we get off here, check your cameras. For those of you that are listening for the first time, I know we had a lot of first-time listeners. We actually just hit 5,000 subscribers on YouTube, which was a goal we set for this year, so that was cool. But this is kind of normally what we do on Mondays. We sit around and we talk different stuff, hunting-related, and then on Fridays we do the Full Draw Friday where we'll talk 15, 20 minutes about strategy stuff. I didn't get one of these out last week, which I apologize for that, but I didn't want to do it by myself, and nobody else was available. So we'll have some guests coming on, too. It's been tough to schedule with us trying to do the show, get everything put out, edited, get in the field, and schedule guests has kind of been tough. So we'll get back to doing that soon, too. But I do appreciate everybody that tunes in every week. And if you're new, stick with us. If you like the show, leave us a review or a comment. Like, that helps a bunch. And if you guys like the show, the Fall Pursuit Show on YouTube, just leave a comment in there like, even if you don't like it, leave a comment because it'll help us out a bunch. It's amazing how much better a video with several comments we'll do on it than the other one, and it's because YouTube's algorithm will push it out. The more it gets viewed, the more YouTube pushes it out for more people to get viewed because that's how their algorithm decides whether it's interesting or not, and they want to push out interesting content to the people who are using their app. So if you're watching the videos and you like them, leave us a comment. Hit the like button, whatever. If you're watching on Carbon TV, that's awesome too. Sign up, leave us a Carbon rating on there. I've been pleased. I'm anxious to see the numbers on that and how many people are watching over there, but I've been happy with how everything's went with that so far. But you have anything on the cameras?
This one big fox squirrel that just runs constantly past the west block camera, and then some wind.
The fox squirrel's not afraid of Amish.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently not.
All right, well, we'll get into that another time.
Yeah.
We want to leave it right there.
Yeah.
thanks again for tuning in, everybody. And we'll have one out this Friday, and then we'll see you back here again next Monday for another regular episode.